Romans chapter 12 and reading from verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, and all that which is evil cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. I'll be reading another passage in a short while. Our brothers mentioned the fact that today is the 50th anniversary of this assembly, and you and I today, we find ourselves as members, should I say, honoured members of this assembly, and on this occasion we rejoice in this fact. But I suppose I dare say that as this passage has read here, for we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. And I suppose throughout the years that this assembly has been functioning, and certainly throughout the 27 years that I've been here, I think that has been one of the blessings of this assembly, in that each and every one has stuck together and has worked together in the gospel, worked together in bringing the message of salvation. And as we look over time and we see the different phases, and I look over the different periods of time that I've been here, and the many that the Lord has raised up to take the place of others, young and old, so that the message of the gospel can go forward, and so that the testimony of the Lord here can shine brightly. And it is because of that love one for another, that love for the Lord, and of course the fact that we also read that passage, preferring one another, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And I think that's one of the good things about getting on in an assembly, getting on with the Lord's work. When we look at each other and we work with each other, we prefer each other. We don't say I'm better than you or so and so is better than you, but we prefer each other, and we appreciate the work that each other does, no matter how insignificant it might be. And verse 6 says to us then, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We all have a different gift. We all have a way of serving the Lord. Now, I can remember, sometimes we battle with this, what is our gift? What does the Lord really want me to do? And you know, sometimes I think that it does come across, and over the many, many years, not only here, but back in South Africa, there's sort of been the tendency, you know, that if you're not up there on the platform, you haven't got a gift. If you're not on the platform there, being able to express yourself or to speak a word for the Lord, you haven't got a gift. And sometimes that's made people sort of wonder, well, you know, feel inadequate sort of thing. But this morning, I just want to, by what I'm going to say and bring to you a little later on, encourage your hearts that there is something for each and every one of us to do, no matter how insignificant it might seem. But there is a work that God has given us to do. And I can remember when I was battling with this question many years ago as a young man, and I was saying, well, what does the Lord want me to do? And at that stage, I just started Sunday school work, just become a teacher in the Sunday school. And our brother Slosh, Brother Victor Slosh, Neil's dad, had a meeting one Wednesday evening, and he was ministering to us. And he made the point, he said, the Lord will not give you anything that you do not love to do or would not like to do. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, what is it that I like to do? And I thought about the things I've been doing. I thought about the children that I just started to teach in the Sunday school, and I said to myself, well, I like doing that. I like being with the boys and girls. I like bringing the word of God to them. I like bringing the message of the gospel to them. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, I think that's what God wants me to do. And praise God, I'm still doing it today through His grace. So God will not give you anything to do that you don't like doing. But He's given us gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And verse 7 says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth diligence with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And here we see the varying gifts that comes about. And I think, although even at the times when we feel and we seek to sort out what our gift is that God wants us to do, in whichever small way it is, we must also recognize not only that gift that God wants us to do, but we must recognize the gift that God has given others. God has given some the gift of teaching, the gift of ministering. And we should respect that and praise God for that, and thank Him that we have brethren that can bring the word of God to us in a simple way, and in a way that we can serve God more fervently. And sometimes there might be a tendency perhaps to want to be like that brother, but God has chosen that brother. Or maybe that sister in doing something, and that's what God wants them to do. And so let us appreciate that, and let us, as we seek to serve the Lord, even in our humble ways, praise God for the men, the brethren, and the sisters that He has raised up to do these various things, including ourselves. And so then, therefore, as we seek to live and witness with each other, no matter how small the gift might be, I can remember, you know, when we go back to our working days and times like this come about, and everybody is recognized for the things that they've done in the company, and gifts are handed out. But you know something, that there is one person that I've always found that seems to get a very high place in the company. This person is not always recognized for making profits for the company or representing the company in any way, But this person is always put on a pedestal, I've always found, and that was the tea lady. Because she was always there, whether it was in the boardroom, whether it was in the office, to bring that cup of tea in with a smile on her face. Sometimes she did have some harsh words, and she would say, "El has spoken." But they appreciated that, and they made it known. I can remember when we just visited South Africa, there was a sister there, she was an elderly sister, and I always wondered why it was that she was always the last one sitting in the seat. And on the first Sunday that we were there, they gave us a luncheon, and this sister stayed behind and she enjoyed lunch with us. And she stayed there for quite a while. Somebody did a bit of practicing and she still stayed there. And the evening meeting came along. We had a bit of a chat with some folk and this sister was still there. And I asked the question, why is she always waiting? I mean, shouldn't she be getting home? It's a bit late and that sort of thing. And they said, no, she locks up the hall. She's got the key. She won't give it to anybody else. She wants to make sure the windows are closed. She wants to make sure the doors are shut, that the lights are off. And you can't get that key off her. She just loves doing that job. And she'll sit there and wait until everybody's gone. And then she'll close the doors. And she'll open them up the same way. And that really touched my heart. But brethren and sisters, let me just say again that that is one of the reasons why I feel that as an assembly for 50 years, God has blessed us. I don't say that we've had ups and downs and whatnot, but God has kept us together. We've worked together. Let us continue to recognize each other's abilities, no matter how small. Let us rush to the fore and say, oh no, so-and-so did that. So-and-so was responsible for that, no matter how small. And may God bless us in that. Now, I would like to just read another verse, and I'm going to... another few verses in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. I'll read a few verses there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That was the verse that I read when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now verse 14 is the verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now when we read out those lists of gifts that I just read a few minutes ago, we won't find amongst that list of gifts that preaching the gospel was mentioned there. There was ministering, there was teaching, there was quite a few other things, but the actual preaching of the gospel wasn't mentioned there. And I feel it is because, dear brethren and sisters, then each and every one of you, myself included, we have that gift within us. Because when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, no matter how feeble, no matter how weak, you and I have that gift within us to tell others about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how feeble. Now, having said that, I'm going to read to you something. I get a magazine from Canada. And as I read this issue in the magazine, I recognized a person I was reading about. And not many people may know this person, but quite a few will. But let me just read this passage to you in this magazine. And the title is A Faithful Fisherman. This comes from Canada. It says, years ago in England, there was a preacher by the name of Francis Dixon. One day, at his local church, they were having testimonies as to how people were reached by the gospel and saved by grace. A young man named Peter was asked to tell his story to the congregation. He said, "This is how I became a Christian. I was walking down George Street in Sydney, Australia, and out of nowhere came a little old white-haired man. He walked up to me and said, 'Pardon me, I'd like to say something to you, sir. Do you know that you are going to live in eternity, either in heaven or in hell? Do you know which one?' 'It's serious, sir. Would you think about it? That's all. Goodbye.' I couldn't get that out of my mind. I went back to England, and there I found a Christian who told me how to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Sometime later, a group came to the same local church where Peter was for a series of meetings. A young man named Noel was a member of that group, and he was asked to give the story of his salvation. And he said, 'I was stationed in Sydney, Australia, during World War II. And I was walking down George Street when a little old white-haired man came down out of nowhere and said, "Excuse me, I hope I won't offend you, but I would like to ask you, do you know where you are going to spend eternity? It will either be in heaven or hell. Please think about it. That's all. Goodbye." After the meeting, Peter walked up to the man named Noel and said, "You've got my story exactly. That same little white-haired man, that's how I found out that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ." Later, Francis Dixon went to Adelaide, Australia to preach. He was so impressed by how Peter and Noel had come to know the Saviour in that land that he was telling the people where he was preaching about the story of the little white-haired man who had spoken to them. As he told the story, a man at the back of the congregation began to wave his arms. It was apparent that the man wanted to say something. "Mr. Dixon," said, "Sir, would you like to speak?" The man replied, "I'd like to tell you that one day I too was in George Street, Sydney," when he related the same story about the little white-haired man. Francis Dixon said, "I was so taken with that when I went to Perth to preach, I told them about that man in Adelaide, as well as Peter and Noel, and after I had finished my message, a gentleman came to me and said, 'Let me give you my testimony.' And he told me the very same thing these others had experienced." Mr. Dixon went back home and continued to preach in his own area in England and said, "One day, as I told the story about Peter and Noel and the man in Adelaide and the man in Perth, the amazing thing was that when the meeting was over, a young woman came up to me and said, 'I was stationed in Sydney in Australia in the service, and I was walking down George Street and a little white-haired man came up out of nowhere,' and he said," then went on to relate the same experience as the others. Later, Mr. Dixon was speaking at a convention in England, and he told the story about Peter, Noel, the men in Adelaide and Perth, and the young woman who was stationed at Sydney during the war, how that same little white-haired man had been used of God in their lives to seek the Saviour. When he finished speaking, a man said, "I'm another one." He told the same story. Mr. Dixon eventually went to India, and an older missionary heard him tell of Peter, Noel and the others. When he had finished, the missionary said, "Let me give you my testimony." It was exactly the same as those Mr. Dixon had related. Years later, Mr. Dixon went to Jamaica and told the story about that missionary and all the others. After the service, a man walked up to him and said, "I was in Sydney, Australia, in George Street," and his testimony was the same about the little white-haired man and his words. Eventually, Francis Dixon came to Sydney itself to preach and asked a friend if he could tell him if anyone might know about the little white-haired man who used to come along George Street, approach people and ask them to consider where they were going to spend eternity. The friend said, "Sure, I know him. He doesn't get out on the street anymore. He's almost blind now, and he lives on the edge of the city. His name is Mr. Jenner." Now, I don't know if anybody knows Mr. Jenner, but when I came to this assembly, Mr. Jenner was sitting in that front seat in front of Mr. Whitefield there. Mr. and Mrs. Jenner, they were sitting there. And so I remember Mr. Jenner very well. And at long last, Mr. Dixon was able to locate the old man. Dixon said, "I went into that little cottage, neatly kept, and sat down in the presence of Mr. Jenner, the little white-haired man of George Street fame. I told him about Peter's testimony, Noel's testimony, the testimony of the man in Adelaide, the man in Perth, the woman in England, the man at the conference, the missionary in India, and the man in Jamaica." The old man began to cry and said, "I don't know how many thousands of times I've talked to people up and down George Street over the years. This is the first time I ever knew that anyone ever did give their heart to the Lord Jesus." Francis Dixon said, "I walked down George Street and prayed, may God raise up some more Mr. Jenners, young and old, who will walk up and down the streets of their own town or city and throw out the net in spite of fatigue, as the little white-haired man did for those many years. In glory today, Mr. Jenner is enjoying the company of some who walk the streets of heaven because he came out of nowhere, threw out the gospel net, and people came to know God's salvation. Faint not." And so there, dear brethren and sisters and friends, if you've been speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps sometimes you may even have felt that nobody has responded, there was Mr. Jenner for many, many years. And when he finally, towards the end, when this Mr. Dixon came and visited him, he said, "Well, I've spoken the word so many, many times, but this is the first time I've come to hear that somebody trusted the Lord." And you know something? We might never get to hear that down here, but one day, maybe in glory, there will be those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe because you've spoken a simple word. Maybe because you've invited them along. You may have the gift of inviting people to come along to a gospel meeting. You may have a gift of a way of handing out tracts or literature. But whatever it is, keep going. And one day when we get to glory, we'll find out how many people, you know, came under conviction because of what little thing you might have done for the Lord. And so, as we carry on, may the Lord bless us and continue to witness and serve for Him.